What's happening in Israel is not just about Israel. For better or worse, their trial is a shadow of how God deals with all of us. Trials are a test of our faith, not God's faithfulness. Fear worships the devil. Its foundation is our soul demanding the world be our God and give us what we need.
Thanks for joining us on Life Journeys, a podcast about thriving through the worst pain that life brings. With global initiatives threatening big changes to our way of life, we're going to need to activate Jesus' words about mountain-moving faith. Words That Work is the ongoing series on Life Journeys that is rooted in releasing revelational words of faith that will work every time and with everyone. It's about moving the mountains that keep us from the presence and goodness of God. It's about defining our life purpose and identity through encountering Him. Until we have the power to move the obstacles that are destroying our liberty and hope.
Yale is violently demonstrating against the Israeli war in Gaza. It's gotten so bad at Columbia that the university has told all Jewish students to go home until further notice. All around the country, people are raising up to oppose this war, yet Israel has made it clear that they will no longer allow Hamas to freely live while declaring their purpose to wipe out the state of Israel. On the other hand, Israel is representative of the Old Testament people of God. It was to them that Jesus came to bring salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. When the chief priests and Roman soldiers came to kill him, he freely gave his life to be crucified. It's a strange dichotomy. God's people waging war to wipe out their enemies and Jesus dying to save his enemies. It could create quite a debate. Who's right, Israel or Jesus? When you put it that way, there's no debate, but what do we do when we're between such a rock and a hard place? Do we turn the other cheek? Do we love our enemy? Do we bless them that persecute us and despitefully use us? Before the disciple Peter could sort this out in his own life, he had to meet both Jesus and Satan. He would be required to use the message of the cross to overcome the power of Satan. After spending 3 years with Jesus, seeing the miracles, and listening to him teach on righteousness and mercy, Peter blew it. Big time. He first took a sword and cut off the enemy soldier's ear when they came to get Jesus, and Jesus promptly healed him. Then, with Jesus captured and being tortured in full public view, Peter cursed and denied 3 times that he even knew Jesus. Here is where Peter would meet Satan. Jesus told him that Satan had obtained permission from the Father to sift him like wheat. Now, the guilt and condemnation of the devil was devouring Peter's soul with an onslaught of accusations about his sin. Then on top of that, when Peter heard that Jesus was raised from the dead, he didn't believe it. He had no faith in the resurrection. Now it's time to put yourself in such a place. With enemies roaring all around you, from the political firestorm to the injustices of the day in our schools, media, and finance, what will we do? Or perhaps it's the injustice of being falsely accused. Or worse yet, with accusations being true, and after God allowed it to be exposed, our life seems to be over. Peter went fishing. He walked away with the other disciples to what they were doing before Jesus ever came along. He was just existing. How many today are just existing after God not only allowed life to pound them into the ground, he also told them it was coming? He even said that we'd fail in the calamity. We'd curse and act like there was no God at all. But listen, this is where Jesus specializes. He didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners. People who tried the best they could in some ways and still failed. Others who didn't even try. If anyone woulda, coulda, shoulda, it was Peter. But he couldn't. First, he had to be with Jesus, and then he had to encounter the devil. And listen, it was in the will of God. God let it happen. He had to, in order to deposit the faith into the hearts of the disciples that Jesus talked about for 3 years. You'll think you've got faith and boldly declare like Peter until you find out you haven't arrived yet, and it's okay with God. He's got a bigger plan. He's going to use the revelation of God that you do have to bring you to the place where you own this faith as your very own. You face the devil because you let him in. You had no choice. You were trying to do God's will your own way, in your faith instead of in his, and God had to let you go down what I call this wild ride of liberty. It's the pathway where God lets you fall flat on your face, where you finally learn to humbly let him pick you up again. This trial that you're in now is not the last word. If you haven't failed yet, you probably will. But you see, the test of faith is a test of our faith, not the faithfulness of God. We still have to learn from the bottom of our hearts that God saves us from the deepest messes, failures, and sins of our lives. He lets the world dig out the deepest, most secret areas of darkness. Then he completely delivers us. Here are some of the things you're going to need to learn. Fear and anxiety worship the devil, who is the author of our fears. You see, worship exalts what we consider to be the greatest power in our lives, and fear too often raises its head and says, "You're finished." Fear draws us away from God, while faith brings us near to him. And worship is, by definition, drawing near to God and honoring him for who he is. When Abraham was afraid that he wasn't going to receive the promise that God made to him to bless him, God came to him and said, "Abraham, fear not. I am your exceedingly great reward." It's almost like he was saying, "I'm not just going to give you what I promised. I'm going to come down there myself. I'm your reward." But you see, it's only when we've encountered some of the worst that this world can give that God's answer is truly seen for what it is. Absolute, soul-convincing, divine intervention. I was in an impossible place, and God helped me, you'll say. You see, it's only in impossible places that we can be convinced that the help we got was from a supernatural God. He just shows up when it's impossible. That's what revelation is all about. Listen, you wanted convincing that God and his promises were really real. Well, that's how he does it. It's in life-threatening storms, graveyards, and against overwhelming odds. So that when it's all over, you know that there is a God and that he's with you. God says, "Trust me when you don't understand. Trust me when you don't see a solution. Trust me when things have gone just too far." But then, don't pick it back up and try to figure it out. I found that when the problems are insurmountable, I have to gain new trust every day, and I have to surrender what I want back into his hands every day. I just can't tell him how he's going to work it out. That never works. God is a God of the heart first. If there are things we are saying that we have to have a certain way or we'll never be happy and whole, well, he knows how to give us himself, so that he lights up our life more than the thing that we are so sure that we can't live without. God will brook no rivals. He will not allow us to require other gods to fulfill our lives or else. Surrender what you require for life, or the devil can master your life with that thing. To live free, give what you can't keep forever to gain the life you can never lose. Your ultimate life purpose is to win battles by faith, to glorify God. And since that's true, don't ever think that he'll be the one to fail you. Failures in faith are always because there's some secret delight that we just don't want to give back to him. Now, something else you're going to need to know, and I've said it before on this series, God doesn't always remove the threat, but he does remove its power over you if you let him. And I can just say right here, you don't have the right to live by fear, anxiety, and worry. You don't. That neither serves God nor glorifies him. It glorifies your enemy and gives him power over you, and God doesn't like anyone but him having power over you. You see, he alone has the love and pure motives necessary to wield that kind of power. To let your soul demand something is fear's foundation. To let your soul demand that the world give you what you need is to demand that the world be your God. And faith in God stands against that. Therefore, know beyond a doubt that God will never let you down in that. I've said it before, he can turn an invading army into a plate of French toast if necessary to stop whatever is destroying your soul if you just let faith in. One of the hallmark words that work is that trials are heaven's invitation to draw closer to God. Satan doesn't seem to realize that fear drives a man of faith closer to his Savior. The devil's just not the brightest bulb in the house. Because of what having any tight handholds in this world can do to cause fear and to exalt the darkness around me, I'm just not willing to lose my peace and power with God in order to have a temporary idol. As of this podcast, Israel is still destroying their enemies. Hezbollah is striking from the north, with Iran having struck from the east. One day, Israel's going to be surrounded and overcome. Scriptures are clear on that. And in tried and tested biblical principles for thousands of years, Israel is seen to be a type or shadow of how God is dealing with you and I in the trials of our lives. As the battles play out on the ground and throughout the world's media, you see the hand of God as he works the same way in your personal life and mine as he does there. What are we going to learn from the Middle East? When are we going to hear the sound of Peter's confident voice of presumption in Israel's stand and in our own battles with fear that our idols create? What's happening in Israel is not just about Israel. They've always been God's witness, when they've been right and when they've been wrong, either in blessing or in cursing. It's part of God's message to you and I. You see, learning to live by faith in Jesus is a relentless life of warfare with darkness and deception, injustice and betrayal and pride and self-effort, until we learn to fully surrender to the gospel. Israel's battle is a picture of your personal battle to overcome, and in it, God is going to remain faithful.
You can unlock the presence of God in your life. There are revelation principles that remove the mountains, keeping us from joy, hope, peace, and purpose when our world gets turned upside down. Look for these words that work with Pastor Hartika as he shares what has helped him when life got hard. And don't forget to check out his book, The Fortress and the Firebrand, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for listening to Life Journeys. Find new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. And if you're new to this series, it begins with the September 16th episode.
What's happening in Israel is not just about Israel. For better or worse, their trial is a shadow of how God deals with all of us. Trials are a test of our faith, not God's faithfulness. Fear worships the devil. Its foundation is our soul demanding the world be our God and give us what we need.